Good evening. And welcome to Calvary. If you are a visitor or a first-time worshiper with us this evening, an especially warm welcome to you. We're glad you're here with us, and we'd love for you to fill out that little envelope you received as you arrive. Drop that in the offering basket. That's how we get connected with folks. Today, in the life of the church, is a very unique day. We call today Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday gets its name from an ancient practice way back in the days of the ancient Bible. People, when they felt regret, they felt sorrow, they felt shame, they would cover themselves in ashes. And we're not going to do that today. But we are going to place the sign of the cross. You'll be invited to come forward and place the sign of a cross on your forehead as part of our service today. We remember that though we all have regrets, we all have losses, we all have feel shame from time to time, as we begin this journey toward Easter, we remember that we have a God who gives every last one of us new life and new hope and new grace and new forgiveness. And so we celebrate that tonight. Today starts our Lenten journey. In the life of the church, we begin a 40-day journey towards Easter. And so during this time, we gather together more often as a community of faith. We actually add a service at this time each and every week. And I want to clarify, this service will be a unique service. Brad Lambrecht will be putting together a little orchestral group that will play for each of those services. There's also a service at 6:15, but that service will be the same as the service on the weekend. Our Wednesday evening service that we have throughout the school year has become the main service for about a third of our congregation, believe it or not. And so if you're looking for the unique Lenten service, that will be this service at 5 o'clock. Each Wednesday we'll have from 4:15 to 6 o'clock. Also, there'll be a meal served down in the church basement. Let's see. Our theme for the season of Lent is the ultimate Exodus, and we are going to look at the story of the Exodus in the Bible, God leading God's people out of slavery, and we're going to talk during the season of Lent about how there are things in our own lives that have us bound, that have a hold on us. We all have regrets, we all have losses, we have voices from the past that seem to have a hold on us. And what we believe God wants for us is an ultimate exodus, a freedom from all of those. And so that'll be our theme as we journey through the season of Lent. Just one last announcement. If you're somebody who happens to be on Facebook, we would love for you to check in on Facebook. And I know that sounds a little odd, but we partner with an organization that for every check-in, they're going to provide vitamins for children in need. And so if you are on Facebook, we'd love for you to check in at this time. All right, at this time, I'm going to invite you to please stand, greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love.
Thank you.
gather together today in the name in which we live, the name in which we baptize, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in our Ash Wednesday confession. I will begin, and the words in yellow are your part. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, together we confess to you and to one another and before the whole company of heaven that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, O God.
We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt towards those who differ from us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us.
Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
At this time, I invite you to be seated as we continue with our evening offering.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite you to join me in our prayer of the day. It's found both in your bulletin as well as on the screen. Together we pray.
God of mercy, as we begin our journey to Easter, we remember tonight that ashes were once a sign of repentance, a reminder of the loss and pain we all experience. May these ashes that we will be marked with tonight not only be a sign of our repentance, but reminders that by your grace we are granted life forever with you. Amen.
Our psalm for tonight is Psalm 22, and we'll read that responsively. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest.
Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. And I shall live for him.
Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Well, something that each of you know, if you've ever been a part of any kind of a musical group, is the importance of being in tune. There's nothing worse than a band or an orchestra, as Brad would know, where the instruments are out of tune. It becomes something that you might want to plug your ears and not really want to listen to. My wife Kim and I, our youngest son Isaac, is a professional violinist. He's now the vice president of artistic planning for the New York Philharmonic Orchestra in New York City. Well, he did his undergraduate studies at the Cincinnati College and Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, and he got his master's degree at the Butler School of Music at the University of Texas in Austin. Well, through all of his years of training, starting with violin in his first grade year, one of the things that we learned in all of the different groups that he played in, all the Minnesota Youth Symphony Orchestras, the Aspen Music Festival Orchestra, and Opera Orchestra, and Lucca, Italy, any place he played, always the importance was having the instruments in tune. In fact, he learned from the time he was very, very little in first grade that you don't move on to the next piece, even if it was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, until the piece you were working on was perfectly in tune. Now, in an orchestra, as you would know, the concertmaster always comes out, and the concertmaster motions to the oboe player, and the oboe player gives the perfect pitch, and that is the A pitch. And then everyone in the orchestra tunes to that A pitch. And you hear that all happen before the conductor comes out and before they begin starting to play the first piece. Now you can imagine what might happen if each of the players decided that they were going to tune to their own pitch. If they all decided, we're going to do it our own way today. That would sound awful. It would sound terrible. It would be something that would be unbelievable to hear. So this afternoon, I'd like to ask all of you to hum a pitch that is different than everybody around you. Pick out any kind of a pitch, and I just want all of you to just hum. Hum out loud and just start humming. Hmm, hmm. Do you hear the disharmony? Pretty bad, huh? Well, this is the kind of world that the Israelite people faced when they were in their slavery in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, and you'll find this up on the screens, says these words. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were, what? Oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The Bible tells us, as we're dealing with this theme now about the ultimate exodus, the people cried out to God in their slavery, and their voices were filled with the dissonance of a world and the dissonance of a life that was totally out of key. Their slavery caused them to cry out to God for freedom, for God to open the way for an exodus, for a new life of freedom. And the good news is that God sent them Moses. He sent them a leader to confront the Pharaoh and lead them to the promised land. And the truth is, I believe that each one of us today and our world today are also in disharmony. I believe that our world today is in the dissonance of slavery. We are enslaved today to the chaos of our world, where our priorities and our values are often out of tune, where we are slaves oftentimes to ourselves and to our own selfish wants, where we are often humming our own notes, our own tunes, and are out of sync with each other. Truth is that we too need an exodus. We need an ultimate exodus. We need to be set free. I heard a story many years ago about an actual radio station way back in the early days of radio, where it was requested by a person who lived way out in a remote area someplace that at a certain time each week they broadcast the perfect A pitch for 1 minute, one time each week. And it was at that time that this person, as well as many people around the country in remote areas or whatever, could tune their instruments that they played to that perfect pitch. The sounding of the A brought harmony and joy to people, to homes, to churches, and to communities all across our great land. Well, the good news of Jesus, the good news of Bethlehem, the good news of his death and resurrection, the good news is that Jesus came to this world to sound the perfect pitch in this world, the perfect pitch in the key of love. Jesus came to share his grace, his forgiveness, and his love with each and every person. And the good news of Jesus is for us to exodus those things in us which might confine us, for us to find freedom and to find new life. We need to tune our hearts and our lives to the perfect pitch of Jesus and of Jesus' love. And that's what the cross of Jesus is all about. That is what Lent is all about. It is learning that through Jesus' death on the cross, that he took all of our slavery upon himself. And through Jesus, he offers us a new gift and a new life of forgiveness, a new life of freedom, a new life of joy, and a new life of love. Truth is that there are many, many people today who are tuning their life to other pitches in this world. Many people today are tuning their life to their own selfish wants. Their mantra is really all that matters is me, myself, and I. Others today are tuning their lives to political divisiveness, to voices of cynicism, to prejudices against the poor or people of other races or to immigrants. Even in the church, there are people today who think it's their role to stir up dissension or whatever, even in the church and churches around the world today. But to tune to my own biases, to my own prejudices, to tune to certain angry voices who are sounding the pitch today in the key of anger and division, all of these are leading to a tremendous amount of slavery in our world today, and we are in desperate need of an exodus. And it's important to note, I always believe, that none of this comes from tuning our lives to Jesus. I know there's always somebody that says, oh, my job is to be a rabble-rouser, my job is to do this, but that's not where we're tuning our lives to Jesus. Because to tune to Jesus always brings harmony, it brings peace, it brings affirmation of others, it brings welcoming the stranger, it brings listening to those who are rejected by society. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, and we look at these words, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciple if you do what?
Love one another."
And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, "The only thing that matters is what?
Faith
expressing itself through love." One of the greatest musicians of all times was Johann Sebastian Bach. And a very famous quote from Bach is this: "The aim of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul." And I would also say that that's true for each one of us as we live our lives of faith in Jesus. The aim of the music of our lives should be none other than the glory of God. I want to give God the glory every single day, and the refreshment of the soul, where people are refreshed by the song that I'm singing each day. So please join us at Calvary these weeks of Lent as we talk about the ultimate exodus that God wants for you and for me. Come and learn how we can better tune our lives to the perfect pitch of Jesus in the key of love. So I'm going to ask Nolan to play the A. Everybody hum on that one note. Now I want you to just play a chord for us. Pick out a... Now, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound great? It's an amazing thing that we always need to realize of what Calvary can be like when we're all in harmony together. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that there are a lot of people today that are stuck in the slavery of themselves or stuck in all kinds of slaveries in this world. Teach us, Lord, how to tune our lives to you so that we are set free from whatever binds us, whatever keeps us in those traps today. Thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you for dying on the cross, and thank you for sending Jesus, who sounded that perfect pitch in the key of love. We pray all this, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Watching, watching.
please stand. As we gather together, we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to each one of his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks for it, he blessed it also and gave it to each one of them to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this also in remembrance of me." And together we pray the prayer our Lord taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And you may be seated. The ushers will invite you to come forward. Here at Calvary, we believe that this is God's meal. And when God throws a meal, every last one of us is invited, even encouraged, to share. And so the ushers will invite you to come forward. As you come down the aisle, you will notice on the tables on either side that there are gluten-free options for those that prefer that. We will give you a piece of the bread. You're invited to dip that into the wine or the grape juice. The wine is the darker of the two. But before you receive communion, you'll receive the opportunity to receive ashes. We'll simply place the mark of the ashes on your forehead, make a cross on your forehead. Just let us know if you'd rather not receive that. That's okay. Come now, God's meal is ready for all.
Mercy on us.
We offer this prayer. Merciful God, accompany our journey through these 40 days. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now as you leave this place, wherever it is that you go from here, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Oh,
folks. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.